Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned?" I think the meaning of this phrase is rather well exemplified by an unusual occurrence that happened last month. And that was that a government agency told a Catholic college, in effect, "You're not Catholic enough." Now that's rather strange, isn't it? Not something that we expect government agencies to do every day. So let's take a look at this and see what was going on. The agency was the National Labor Relations Board, and the college was Manhattan College, located in New York City, founded 150 years ago by the Christian Brothers, the founder of whose order was St. John Baptist de la Salle. Now we should note, starting right out, that Manhattan College identifies itself as a Catholic college. I read they have crucifixes in all their classrooms. They have a campus ministry. Mass is celebrated there 6 days a week in one of their chapels. And they had continued to this agency that they are a church-operated institution, thus that they are exempt from the jurisdiction of the agency, the National Labor Relations Board, and don't need to follow something that the board wanted them to do. Now, the thing is, the board was not satisfied with these things on the surface, because it knows well that there are sometimes businesses that will try to claim to be church-operated, even though they aren't at all, in order to gain some business advantage with relation to this board. And so the board will never be convinced simply by what you call yourself or what you hang up on your walls. Instead, it will look into the institution or the company more deeply to see what's really going on. In effect, the board says, "Talk is cheap. Show us who you really are. Show us what you really do. And then we'll know whether you qualify for this exemption or not." Now, salt in Jesus' time was highly prized for what it did. It acted upon food to enhance its flavor. In an age without refrigeration, it would act upon meat to preserve it. And it could even be used as a sort of antiseptic in wounds because of how it acted upon the body's cells and upon any bacteria that might be present. And so the board was asking, in effect, not actually in these words, "Are you really what salt is? Do you do what salt does? Are you salty enough? Are you Catholic enough?" And when we look at the 26-page decision issued by this board, we can draw from it the fact that they investigated certain particular questions. And let's take a look at what three of these were. The board looked at Manhattan College and asked, "Who governs you? How are you directed?" After all, in its beginning, it was founded and run by the Christian Brothers. But today, it is run by a board of trustees. 5 of the trustees, Christian Brothers, 32 not. The president of the college is no longer a Christian Brother. And the college's literature states that they are independent of the control of any church authority. The government agency looked at this and said, "It is clear that you are not governed as salt is governed." Secondly, the agency asked, "Well, what about the money? Where does your funding come from?" Today, the Christian Brothers contribute to Manhattan College about $100,000 per year. But this is out of an annual budget of $84 million. In other words, it's just a drop in the bucket. The agency looked at that and said, "You are not funded as salt is funded." The agency also asked, "What are your goals?" They quoted one longtime professor who told them that back when he was hired in the 1960s, the primary purpose of the college was not only educational, but also to indoctrinate students into the Catholic faith and to proselytize students, that is, to help those students who are not Catholic to become Catholic. And the professor said that back then his job was not just academic, to teach the students theology, but also to make them Catholic. But it's obvious that at this college, this has all changed now. The college's literature speaks often of freedom and diversity, but not often of Catholicism. And it says that unlike a parochial school, it does not seek to indoctrinate in the faith. It does not insist upon religious observance. It requires students to take one Catholic Studies course, which comes from a long list of options. And in this course, they'll intellectually examine some aspect of the Catholic intellectual or artistic tradition. But this course does not seek to make the students Catholic in mind or in practice. And the agency looked at that and said, "You do not have the goals that SALT has." Now, the agency in examining Manhattan College was not satisfied with the normal language that it put forward, but looked deeper. And so it was especially interesting that they said that Manhattan College would often identify itself with the founder of the Christian Brothers, St. John Baptist de La Salle, and would often use the word LaSallian. They were LaSallian, following in his tradition. But it didn't stop there. It looked at exactly what it said, and it noticed that the college is redefining the saint, reinventing him. One trustee document says explicitly that recent scholarship has made it possible to disengage his educational achievement from its roots in the Catholic France of the 17th century, and so to implant the characteristic LaSallian vision in a variety of cultural and religiously pluralistic contexts. In other words, as the government investigators could quite well see, the college had reinvented its saint as a modern secular figure. They had made his story lose its saltiness. We heard Jesus speaking of salt losing its taste, which might seem a little odd because we know sodium chloride cannot lose taste. But in Jesus' day, what was called salt might well be an impure mixture containing some sodium chloride and some other things. And when the sodium chloride was leached out of that mixture, then it lost its taste and the rest of its salty properties. And I think there could hardly be a better picture of what Manhattan College has done to the story of its saintly founder and to itself. All the sodium chloride has been leached out, and what remains is a pile of something that calls itself salt, but no longer tastes or acts like salt at all. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, the story of Manhattan College, which this government agency uncovered and described so well in this decision, is very similar to the story of many other American Catholic institutions and also many American Catholic persons and families over the past 50 or 60 years. It was a natural thing, and it is a natural thing, that children and grandchildren of immigrants should wish to adapt culturally to their new land, to adapt in language and dress and customs, to begin to share in the new land's education and jobs and neighborhoods and governing and its full cultural life. But at what price? What else was given up in that transition to the mainstream? Perhaps no single figure better exemplifies this transition of American Catholics better than President John F. Kennedy. He succeeded in winning the prize of the presidency. But at what cost? He was able to win it at the price of promising beforehand that he would drive a wall between his thoughts and decisions on the one hand and his Catholicism on the other. He won his success by promising that he would lose his saltiness, promising that he would hide his lamp under a bushel. How many more have made this compromise? How many more make this compromise even now? Imagine if the National Labor Relations Board decided to investigate your life as they investigated Manhattan College's identity and life. Remember, they're not convinced by superficial things. So the fact that you call yourself Catholic, have a crucifix on your wall, come to Mass on Sunday, this would not be enough for them. It wasn't enough for them with Manhattan College. And instead they would say, no, let's look deeper. What are some of the questions they might ask you? I'd suggest four areas that this agency might ask if they were investigating your life. First, they'd say, let's look at your beliefs. Do you know what the church teaches? Do you understand it? Do you believe it? Are there teachings that you reject? And if you do reject some of the church's teachings, then how is that any different than the people around you? Second, they might say, well then, let's also look at your actions. Do you know what the church teaches is right and wrong, good and bad? Does this shape how you live your life? Or do you reject some of this? Not just slipping into sin occasionally, but consciously and firmly rejecting some aspect of church moral teaching and consistently choosing to live contrary to it. And if you do, how is that any different than the people around you? In your words and actions every day, do you have an effect on others like salt, an effect like light in darkness? Third, they might say, let's open up your books. Let's take a look at your finances. Do we there see real evidence of your Catholic faith? Or do we just see a token, a drop in the bucket, like that small Christian Brothers contribution to Manhattan College's overall annual budget? Do your finances really look just like everyone else's around you? And fourth, they would also say, pull out your day planner, your calendar. Let's look at how you spend your time day to day, week to week, through the seasons of the year. Do we there see real evidence of your Catholic faith? Or again, are you spending your time pretty much like everyone else around you? Now, I'd like to close on that point related to time use by considering 2 days. 2 days of celebration. Today and last Wednesday. Today, this evening, there is something happening. I can't imagine what it is. After all, it isn't a federal holiday. It isn't on your employer's calendar. It isn't on your children's school calendar. And I don't think Hallmark makes cards for it. And yet, mysteriously enough, 100 million people will all do something different tonight than they usually do on a Sunday evening. 100 million. They will all watch the same television channel at the same time. It will be the most watched program of the year. It might even be the most watched television program out of the entire history of television. That's what it was last year. They will also all make special food. Strangely enough, many of them will be making chili and wings. And today will be second only to Thanksgiving in terms of quantity of food purchased for a holiday. It might even be religious, because they might be offering prayers on behalf of one team or another. There might be more prayers offered today than many, many other days of the year. Now, if the government investigator were looking at your calendar for today and your finances, he or she would probably find evidence of the Super Bowl in your life. Because it shows up, it makes a bump in your life that can be detected. So that's today. Now what about last Wednesday? Last Wednesday? So the investigator points in the calendar to the evening of February 2nd and says, I notice you wrote here, presentation. Was this some sort of talk you were giving? And you say, oh no, that's the feast of the presentation. It's one of the great feasts of the church year because it comes 40 days after Christmas and celebrates how Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus to the temple and how the old man Simeon said that he was a light to enlighten the nations. And so on this feast day, every year, the whole parish gets together. We start out at the front of the property because we're going to have a candlelight procession. The priest blesses the candles as the church has done for hundreds of years. And then we process with our lit candles, singing as we go joyfully until we arrive at the church. There we celebrate Mass together. And afterwards, we go over to the parish hall. And we have this great meal, and some of what we eat are traditional foods that different Catholic cultures have used in celebrating this feast. Also, there are games for the kids. And we'll also have one of the classes, we'll put on a little skit depicting the events that we're celebrating. You know, it's a lot of fun. I'm glad I went to it. I look forward to it every year. In fact, maybe you should come next year. I bet you would really enjoy it. And the investigator would mark down in his notes, yep, this one is Catholic. This one is salt and light. What a difference the Feast of the Presentation makes to him or her. It isn't a federal holiday. It isn't on the employer's calendar or the school calendar or among the Hallmark cards. But it sure makes a bump in his life that can be detected. Now, that didn't happen last Wednesday, did it? It didn't. But it could. We could celebrate the Feast of the Presentation like that. It could take concrete form in our lives that way, as could so many other feasts of the church year. If you would like to help make plans for feast days like this one, let me know. If salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? I wonder.